sort of seen the ideal opportunity to take this illicit exit. Anyway, so now this is the formula for this locus in the perfect cone decomposition. And let me write down a second formula. Namely, the same cycle and now again the projection to the tautological ring and again to be arranged with G equal to 5, this is minus 1 to the power of G minus 1, G minus 1 factorial 8 times the theta function 1 minus 2g times lambda g plus 2g minus 1, 2g minus 1, I equals 0 to g, lambda g minus I, lambda 1 over 2 to the power of I. Now this is different from the formula I wrote down before I wrote down the formula for the tautological class of ij itself. Yeah? But again, for purposes of generalization, I want to write down this formula. Okay, so these are results. How does one go about and attack such a problem? And the answer is, in this case, we use theta functions. And so let me set this up. As usual, we take the upper half plane, symmetric matrices, positive imaginary part, and we have the standard symplectic group. I write 2 SP2G of Z, some people write SPG of Z, yeah. This acts on HG, and again, we'd already seen this action in Hoffman's talk by sending tau to A tau plus B, C tau plus D inverse, and then AG is the quotient of HG by SP. Z, at least in the complex world. For technical reasons, we need congruent subgroups. So we need gamma G of N, all elements gamma gamma G of 1 congruent to the unit matrix mod n, and the theta group gamma G n 2 n or gamma G n, so that in addition the diagonal of a transpose B is congruent to the diagonal of C transpose B, and this is congruent to 0 mod 2n, and if n is even, that is a normal subgroup in gamma G of n. And this gives us spaces AGn and AGn2n by taking the respective quotients. So if you have any point tau in the upper half plane, then, and that's something you know, we can associate to it an abelian variety by taking Zg divided by the lattice Cg tau plus Cg. And then if we take the theta divisor by sending the theta function to zero in a tau, this is a theta divisor. Now I have not told you yet what the theta function is. So let me do this. This is the sum over all n zg e to the pi n transpose tau n plus 2pi n z. And that converges as everywhere, etc., etc. And that gives me a principal polarization, the theta divisor. What else do I need? I need two torsion points, and the two torsion points are of the form tau epsilon plus delta over 2. Epsilon and delta are in 0, 1 power of g. So this gives me the two torsion points. And these two torsion points are even, odd, if and only if epsilon delta is even or odd. Okay, so we want to look at singularities of the theta divisor. In other words, we want to look at the gradient of the theta function. So let me do this. At fm tau, this is the gradient with respect to z of the theta function and evaluated at a two torsion point m. And I want this only for odd m, because otherwise it's identically zero. So these are, well, holomorphic maps, G entries, and the, well, what one can see, it's not difficult, is that the Fm can be thought of as sections in a line bundle, and this is where I need the theta group, and therefore this special level structure of the Hodge bundle, tensor the determinant of the Hodge bundle, and then to power 1/2, meaning a suitable root of the determinant of the Hodge bundle. So now the group gamma G2 divided by gamma G48 acts on these Fm by certain signs, and thus I can look at the zero sense of these functions. So let me call gm g, g epsilon delta of g should be all tau, and I can think of that in AG2 such that the Fm of tau is zero. Think of that in AG2. And I can project that even further. So let me call this IG. The projection here, GmG. And that is now in AG. and it's independent of the M, which is easy to see, and the IG does what it wants to do. The IG is exactly the locus of PPAV, which he has a triple, a singularity at an odd two torsion point, and that for parity reasons then immediately has to be a triple point. And that's the locus which we are interested in, and what we can see is that the codimension of that locus is at most G, because it's given as the zero set of a section of a rank G bundle. Now the question is, and that's a hard question, of whether that is indeed always G, and there is a conjecture which goes back to Krzyzewski and Salvatimani, which does say that the codimension of IG is G for G greater than or equal to 3, otherwise this locus is empty. And that's not known. That's not known. What there is in Casavana Martin, Friedman, this is true for G less than or equal to 5. G up to 3 is classical, G5 is really a hard work here, and in the course of our work we came up with an independent proof ourselves. Anyway, that is a nice open conjecture, so let's look at what the first cases are. So the first cases are, if you take G equals 3, and this I3 is just triple products of elliptic curves. So this is just sim3 of A1. G equals 4, that is A1 times the theta null divisor G3, and G equal 5, well, that is exactly the locus we are interested in, is AG bar union A1 cross theta null. And now at least theorem 1 becomes a very simple thing. Once one has sort of convinced oneself, there is still a technical issue. I mean, we have to see that this section Fm does not vanish with multiplicities on that. Yeah? So that can be checked. So once one has this, then all we are saying is that the class of IG is the G3 Chern class of this vector bundle, and that of course is just a plain straightforward computation. So once one has done this translation, this part of this theorem is actually very easy. As I said, the conjecture is open. One can extend that. You're free to look at not just triple point, but quadruple point, quintuple points. You can guess what the codimension is. Very little is known. I think that's a wide open field on the whole. What is much harder is to extend this to the boundary. Extension to the boundary. So here we work on AG, well, I think best on AG8. Well, we could work on 4-8, but here it's better to work on full level 8. And then the boundary components. These are the boundary components. They are in one-to-one correspondence with vectors plus minus n, z mod az to g minus the origin, and these are primitive. So the entries and added 8, they have no common divisor. And let me put n2. N mod 2. So the natural thing to ask is this Fm, do they extend to a section of a vector bundle on, say in this case, perfect compactification? The vector bundles do. That's part of the general machinery. And then essentially one has to ask, what happens with the boundary components? Yeah, do we pick up zeros, poles, whatever? And the answer is the following proposition. Sections Fm extend sections Fm bar, say. Now these are on the perfect cone compactification, and then we have E, tensor deck E, 1/2, and then it vanishes on some boundary components but not on others. One can work that out, so O of minus sum over dn, where plus minus, this goes to plus minus n primitives, and such that m plus n2 is even. Okay, so that's what it is. That's a question of looking at limits of theta functions. But now, of course, that's one is in business again. So what I want to do is now look at GMG bar, which is FM bar equal to 0. Say we do this in AG of 8. And then we look at GG bar, its projection in a G perf. Okay. One word of warning, this can be more than the closure of the set, of IG, yeah? This is a priori possible. We have that the closure of IG is contained in there, but it can be more. So let me write this down. We have IG bar, G, G bar, and let's put another conjecture. Maybe we should be a bit more careful. Say question. Does equality hold? G, and this is of pure codimension G. Let me write down what we can prove. The theorem is that this is true with G at most 5. That is actually a pretty hard theorem to prove. So what you have to do here is you have to look at limits of abelian varieties. And then you also have to study the limits of your theta divisors. And then you have these limit varieties. Yeah, that can be very complicated. Yeah, and with G, this grows really very badly, the complexity of this. Then you have your theta divisor on it. And then you have to look at the two torsion points. And then what happens is, some of the two torsion points on your smooth abelian varieties will come together. That can be understood how and when. And then you have to look at the limits of these FMs and then at the gradients of this. Yeah? And what you then have to do is that, and this is the crucial part, yeah? You have to prove that this zero set of the FM bars, yeah, doesn't, for example, pick up things in the boundary, yeah, which are not in the limit of IG. Yeah? And this is where you have to sort of prove that you don't have too many degenerate abelian varieties with singular theta divisors at odd two torsion points. So that makes it very technical. So idea of proof. Study degenerations. Of billion varieties theta divisors and the gradients of the FM bar at two torsion. I mean, that involves quite the sort of detailed study of these degenerations. It also shows the limits of the method, because here one can just about sort of handle all the necessary cases, and that's just when G grows, there's no way of sort of doing this by case by case. One does need a new idea. But anyway, it does come up, it does give some rather nice geometry. Now, it's again not so difficult theorem to say A at least. That then again becomes a Turing class calculation. So what we have is the class of that, say in AG, well, doesn't matter. So E is the top Turing class of such a bundle here. Plus minus N primitive. So this is in a G per A. There is an issue here. The issue is this space is singular. So we don't really have a Chow ring. Yeah? I mean, for singular spaces, the Chow has no ring structure. But this is a Cartier divisor. Has to prove this, but it is so. And these are vector bundles. So we have Chern classes. And with Chern classes, we can operate. Yeah? So we can take these operations with Chern classes, and that makes sense. And then we can take the associated Chow homology class, and then that formula makes sense in that setting. But one can't just wildly multiply cycles in that space. Yeah? This is not like NG bar. NG bar, you have a good ring structure, but you don't have it here. So one has to be careful here with the interpretation. And then for 2B, has to show that many classes which are located or supported on the boundary project to zero in the Tauta logic. Yeah? That I certainly don't have the time to discuss here. Let me perhaps just finish up with one special case. So let me finish up with genus. So genus 3. Genus 3 is nice. I mean, here all known toroidal compactifications coincide, and they are smooth. I mean, as a stack, yeah? as a Dillon-Mumford stack. Yeah? So here we have no problems with cohomology ring, etc. So here, this class becomes, and one does the calculations, this is minus 35. It doesn't really matter the exact formula, but I'll write it down anyway. Lambda 1 cubed. Minus 3 4 5, lambda 1 square sigma 1. I'll tell you in a minute what this is. 5/8, lambda 1 sigma 2, 5/8, lambda 1 sigma 1 square, minus 1/12 sigma 1 sigma 2. Where the sigma I are the elementary symmetric polynomials and the boundary components, doesn't really make sense without level, but if you have a level cover, you have all these boundary components, and sigma 1 is just the sum of the boundary divisors, so that's just the boundary. But sigma 2 is where you have two boundary components intersecting, yeah? And then you do that on the level structure and you push it down. Now, that's quite nice because, as I said, this is the same as thin 3A1 bar. And now Sanders here, he has computed the entire Chow ring of this. Yeah? And he also computed that cycle. Yeah? So that is quite nice because that gives a check with Vanderheer's results. And then one can do similar things for G equal 4 and 5, but naturally the formula become much more complicated, and I think I'll spare you that, so I would like to finish there. Thank you very much.